Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're with Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. This is where we learn to dream strong, and my goodness, don't we need these gifts in these times? Actually, one of the few benefits of our shutdown and our global pandemic is that most people actually might now recognize they have more time to catch and work with their dreams and more need to find resources and tools for living and for living strong and courageously than the ordinary mind can sometimes give us. So in this particular show, I'm delighted we have a wonderful guest, Normandy Ellis. I'm going to give her a proper introduction, a little longer than usual. She's been dreaming with ancient Egypt, and ancient Egypt perhaps has been dreaming to us through her. And she's an example in her work of how dreaming, across the whole spectrum of consciousness that I'm talking about, dreaming can connect us with the traditions and the greater powers that are authentically related to us. They can show us the traditions, the cultures, the greater powers that are seeking relationship with us and might have had that relationship from lifetime to lifetime. So let me tell you a little bit about Normandy before I bring her on. I first met her through her astonishing book, Awakening Osiris, when it came out quite a few years ago. It is a literary rendition of the Papyrus of Ani, the famous Egyptian Book of the Dead. I just want to give you a taste for that in case you haven't found it yet. And this is something that we need in our time. So here's Normandy's wonderful, wonderful invitation for us to go through Phoenix Transformation. The Egyptian word for the Phoenix, of course, was Bennu. It didn't necessarily have all that went into the Greek version. But Normandy gave us this literary invitation to go through the Phoenix fire. Let me give you a few lines from her book, Awakening Osiris. I will live forever in the fire spun from my own wings. I'll suffer burns that burn to heal. I destroy and create myself like the sun that rises burning from the east and dies burning in the west. To know the fire, I become fire. I have entered fire. I have become invisible. Yet I breathe in the flow of sun. I am the god of the world in everything, even in darkness. If you have not seen me there, you have not looked. I am the fire that burns you, that burns in you. To live is to die a thousand deaths, but there is only one fire. Wow. So I discovered Normandy through words like that. Actually, we did a fire ceremony with a great bonfire by a waterfall in the woods of Connecticut many years ago using that text, and my goodness, it helped people go through transformation. I'm going to say a little bit more about Normandy before I bring her on, because I don't want you to miss getting a full taste of what she's done for us and is doing for us, which I'm personally grateful. The second book of hers that I read is Dreams of Isis, and of course I resonate with this because she includes some of her own dreams. She also tells us from Dreams of Isis, quote, "The truth about magic making is that it is the divine within the person communicating with the gods, expressing desire, acting on desire, and receiving the gift. One becomes the instrument of a divine event. By that power, miracles are possible, while one's own self does nothing." Remarkable description, the kind of magic that matters, not low goetia, but high magic. And in that book, she tells some stories of her own dreams, and I'm going to get her to talk to us about one of them a bit later on. I'm going to mention one more book by Normandy before we come to the new one, which I'm very excited to introduce to you. Another of the books is called Imagining the World into Being, and it's offered as an Egyptian manual of consciousness, and it is. It gives really interesting creation stories, and she says there, this resonates with this dreamer, great stories are like dreams. The images that appear on the tomb walls in the context of the Egyptian sacred books are dreams. Now, finally, Normandy's new book is called Hieroglyphic Words of Power. There is a deck of cards that goes along with it. You have to order that separately. I just pulled three cards just before coming on the show, literally 2 minutes before I came on the show. I'm going to discuss the meaning of the cards with Normandy somewhere during the show. I'm going to quote one paragraph from Normandy, one more paragraph, in which she introduces her new book, Hieroglyphic Words of Power. Quote, I decided to identify this book with the patron goddess of scribes, Sesshet, who keeps the Akashic records, the history of Egypt, and the lists of kings, as well as all of the papyrus scrolls, hymns, prayers, and petitions and temple services. Scribes and high priests have celebrated Sesshet since the beginning of Egyptian recorded history. She wears the spotted leopard skin that identifies her as the high priestess. Her celestial companion is the god Thoth, the author of the mysteries himself. Sesshet and Isis were both recipients of the power of the wisdom keeper Thoth's magical powers. He taught them well. I decided to honor her, she adds, by calling my book Neju Sesshet, the Lady's Book of Oracles. That's not the final published title, but my goodness, it's a good one, and I like to keep that in mind, too. Welcome, Normandy.
Thank you.
I hope you didn't mind hearing yourself quoted at some length.
It's always interesting because sometimes I will hear a word or a phrase or an idea that I need to hear again. You know, yes, it came through me, but I need to be reminded. So it was great.
Well, one of the functions of friends is to remind each other of things we already know but might have left on a shelf somewhere. Have you noticed that? Another function of friends, of course, is to point out the obvious, which is obvious to other people but sometimes not to us. So I find myself that I'm sometimes aroused by people quoting something from a book that I wrote 30 years ago, something like that. Tell us, just to start off with, what first drew you to Egypt, because you always seem to have been connected to what is the origin of your passion for things Egyptian?
Oh, the origin of my passion for all things Egyptian. Okay, this is, everything that I do mostly goes back to a story. So this is a story from my childhood. I used to go down to this beautiful little stream in the woods at the end of the road, and I was just, you know, 4 or 5, and I had my little red wagon, a radio flyer, and it was full of pieces of wood from things my dad was making and ball jars, and I would go down to the stream and fill those jars with water and pick wildflowers and put them in and place the planks inside the crotch of the trees. So I had little altars with flowers everywhere, and I would spread a blanket down, and I would just lie underneath the blue hem of heaven. That's what I thought about. It was my cathedral in the woods. And I was so wonderfully filled with spirit when I was there. For some reason, I used to crawl into the storm sewer with my chalk and write poems on the walls of the concrete pipes, which were fairly large. And I just, you know, in retrospect, I must have been reliving some old life, you know. But that blue hem of the Sky Mother was so powerful to me, and I never forgot it. You know, and so as I grew up, of course, I became familiar with my Catholic aunts and their Virgin Mary. But I saw that she was sort of like my Sky Mother, but I wasn't really sure until I saw her standing on the globe of the world with the serpent under her foot, which is I later discovered an image of Isis, and I thought, oh, so that's who she is.
Mm-hmm. So. What beautiful, vivid evocation of the magic of the childhood imagination. And it's very interesting that at that age, looking up at the blue vault of heaven, you saw it as feminine, because, of course, different cultures see things in different ways. And in most of the world's traditions that I'm familiar with, the sky is personified as male rather than female, and the earth is personified as female rather than male. But in Egypt, with Newton Geb, it's different, isn't it? So to tap into that in childhood. And then the scene of you drawing and writing in chalk inside the culvert or the storm drain, you know, as I hear you describe that, I can see the scribes, you know, painting on the walls of the temple tombs, you know, writing the hieroglyphs, and you probably have made that connection. all of your life.
Absolutely. Yes.
Let's just move to something that is terribly much on people's minds now, because, of course, we're all in need of healing and protection and guidance and some kind of calm and stability in this global pandemic, this strange shutdown time. I read in yet another book, I read in your foreword to Nikki Scully's book on SECNET, I read about how when you were very sick on a boat on the Nile River on your first visit to Egypt, you felt that SECNET herself came to you and led you on a journey which resulted in healing. Can you talk about that?
Sure. I had the visitor's mommy tummy, you know, and I was very sick. I was very, very sick. I did not know any of the people on this trip. I truly was in a shamanic, the whole trip was a shamanic experience. I was supposed to have met a friend of mine in Egypt. She knew the language. She made all the arrangements. And she was lying in a coma in a Swedish hospital. So I ended up in Egypt by myself trying to maneuver and negotiate and figure out where I needed to be and really being led. I felt that I was led to particular places. So anyway, on this boat, I got sick. I probably ate something I shouldn't have, and it really threw me into a violent reaction. I was sick for about 3 days. I do not remember what happened those 3 days. People were sailing down the Nile. I totally missed it. But I'm lying in my bed, and I go into this state where I see this lion woman, a lion-headed woman coming toward me, and it was, you know, I knew about Sekhmet, so I knew who it was. And she just breathed her warm breath on me and then put her paw over top of my hand. She didn't touch me. She just put her paw over top of my hand. And I lifted up out of the bed. And then we were floating and flying and sailing over these sand dunes. And I could feel the heat and the sand scouring my stomach as I went over these dunes, and I realized it was a great healing that she was giving me. And, yeah, so when I woke up, lo and behold, we were in Luxor going to the Temple of Karnak, and then I met her, the living statue. You know, I walked in and saw her, and it was amazing.
It was totally amazing. Black basalt statue that seems to move people in many ways. I was fascinated when I read that account. Thank you for sharing it with us, because many years ago, and I think I shared the story with you privately, I found myself violently ill, I mean, with all sorts of symptoms. It sounded a bit like the symptoms of the virus today, but it wasn't that as many years ago. And I was in Turkey, and I'd been traveling a long way, and that's not Egypt, but I'm in Turkey. And at a certain point in the middle of the night, wondering how I was going to find a doctor in the morning, I really just hope, I just asked for help. I just asked for help. I didn't ask for help in any name. I really just asked for help from greater powers. And suddenly, in the whole imaginal scene formed in which I saw that I was under attack by what looked like a pack of hyenas. And then a lion arrives, and it's a female lion, though she is maned, and I have no doubt it's Sekhmet. Sekhmet and a pride of lions battle the hyenas, who have still left me wounded, but then the lions lick my wounds, and I am made well. I'm telling the story too quickly, because we want your stories, not mine. But this became, in recollection, an incredible script for imaginal healing. I mean, and it had the virtue of being spontaneous. In other words, it has that sort of quality of objectivity. You don't hesitate to say, am I, you don't detain yourself or delay yourself by worrying about whether you're making it up. It has this authenticity of something that comes upon you in a spontaneous and objective way. So I have no doubt that perhaps I've been a good boy in some life. I have no doubt that Sekhmet herself came to my assistance in that battle. So I wouldn't hesitate myself to call on her by name and to ask the lion energy, the lioness energy, to help other people who are sick. This is so important today, Normandy, because so many people are sick or worried about getting sick and want to boost their immune systems and want protection in many ways and want to know what is authentic for them. So it's desperately urgent for us to encourage people to turn to greater powers and to develop the art of healing through the imagination. I know you're keen on that because you titled one of your books, you know, dreaming, imagining the world into being. So let me just put a larger question to you. When you think about all that you've learned and experienced in relation to the Neteru, the deities of Egypt, what can you say to people who might wonder whether there is anything from this tradition that they could borrow and apply to their lives today for healing, guidance, and protection? How would you answer that question? How does this apply to the situation we are in right now? Are you still with us? Hello? I don't know whether we've dropped the call. Is Jay there?
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of active dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3-DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
The Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knopf. We are having a few little technical issues, I guess, in our world today. People are having lots of issues. I asked Normandy a question before sort of things were dropped for a while, after telling a story of my own healing in the realm of Sekhmet when I was suffering very severe symptoms 7 years ago in Turkey. I asked Normandy this. So, Normandy, here's my question. People are worried. People need extra resources for healing, guidance, boost their immune system, raise their spirits, keep their courage up. What can tapping into any aspect of the Egyptian tradition do to help people with these things, with healing, with guidance, with protection, with courage, with inspiration today? Give us your response to that.
Okay. First of all, I think that it's important to understand that, and I know you do, but we have to remember that all of our life exists in a multiple universe. There are different levels. Of course, we think of levels as places, but they're not places. However, we have spirit, we have our mental life, we have our astral life, we have our physical life, just to mention four planes of existence. And anything that happens to us happens on one of those planes initially and then moves up, okay? So if, let's just say if one becomes ill, all right, that's a physical occurrence that affects how we're thinking. It affects us emotionally, it affects our astral body, and then ultimately if we stay in the illness, it affects our spiritual life. There's also incidences that come down from the top down, you know, and so I think one thing is to figure out what's going on all the levels, not necessarily where it's coming from, but to imagine, let's say we want to invoke Sekhmet for a healing, okay? And who can heal you better than the Lady of Pestilence, which is what Sekhmet is? She knows the cure. She also knows what ails you. And so she's very good to invoke and try to figure out what's going on in my physical life, what's going on in my environment, what am I doing that is creating this disruption or chaos, and then go into your astral life and say, okay, where are the dreams? What are they telling me? You know, and then go into your mental life. Really ask Sekhmet to bring to you an awareness of how you are using your language. You know, because if we say, if we use the word I am, which is the key word of the divine, I am, you know, and you say something like, I am really, you know, peed off, for lack of a better word, sometimes those people end up with kidney problems or urinary tract infections. Your language is drawing that to you, right? When you feel misunderstood, that you have no place to stand, you know, sometimes it works out in physical problems. Okay, so, and then, of course, there's a spiritual. Ask Sekhmet to talk to you about the spiritual. Now, this COVID virus, I've been talking with Sekhmet, and it, to me, is about the breath of life. It really is about the fact that we have gotten so far away from breathing in the spiritual air, from participating in the natural world, which is the world of the divine. Nature is basically an Egyptian word that comes from Neter, which is the word for a god or a goddess. And so we have to reconnect and breathe in that natural life force energy. We're so trying to acquire things. We're so concerned with the physicality of the natural world that we forget that it also has these four layers of existence, you know. And so I think that it's important for us to really begin to have dialogues with these divine beings, a dialogue with Sekhmet, but also a dialogue with the waters. You know, the card that has come to me over and over again is Nu, which is the card of the flood. You know, it's what shoots forth out of the crack in the rocks and wipes everything clean, a clean slate. That's kind of what this virus is doing. It is wiping things away that we once thought were important. It's having us.
No doubt about that.
Yeah,
very eloquent response. Let's just take it immediately to the theme of your new book, because, you know, Egypt puts such emphasis on having and using the right words, doesn't it? The Hekau, the magic words. The holy words of the gods, and this is very much what your book is about. It's to put us into a mode of hieroglyphic thinking, is what one of the things you announce. And Egypt, as I say, is when we read the text and we read your take on the text, puts extraordinary importance on having the right names, having the right words to access those different dimensions of reality that you talked about, and indeed to entertain conversation and engage with the deities. So talk to us initially a little bit more about the concept of the sacred words, the magic words.
Okay. It's a concept called Heka, H-E-K-A, and it was defined by the Egyptians as the proper words, the proper sequence, the proper intonation, and the proper intention. And that was basically a formula for how to invoke the divinity, the proper words, the proper sequence, proper intonation, proper intent. And it's also how to invoke your life. It is written with the hieroglyph of two arms reaching up. They're opened up at shoulder height so that the chest is open and penetrated by the power of light and sun. And that indicates the physical plane. If you look at the hieroglyph, there's like a cord that wraps around itself. And it has three knots in the cord, we'll say. And those represent the unseen plane, the astral, the mental, and the spiritual plane. Okay, so it's actually depicted that in speaking this magic word, you're working through all four of those things that we just talked about.
Right. So what is the difference between the Heka and the Mezdu Neter? I must have no idea whether I'm pronouncing the
yes.
correctly.
Yes. Thank you. So that's Heka. That is a word we'll call magic. That would be the word of anyone who's a metaphysician and uses language in that way. The Mezdu Neter is a word that they used for hieroglyphs. They called their language, you know, like we're speaking in English, they had Mezdu Neter, and that's when the hieroglyphs are the word of God or the word of the divine. And it's in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so it's kind of like that imagery that is connected to that. And some people say, oh, well, that's Jewish. But, you know, the Jews and the Egyptians lived together a very long time. And almost got along, you know, until,
according to the Bible, without a Jew who became an Egyptian prince, Egypt would have starved for 7 years, right?
Right, yeah.
The Egyptian who took a Jew who took an Egyptian name, Moses.
That's right.
Tell us about Sesshet. I know something of Sesshet. I've dreamed of Sesshet. I've even made a journey to the library of Sesshet. But most people haven't, who think they know something about Egypt, don't know anything much about Sesshet. And your book is deeply, I think, devoted to Sesshet. So tell us a bit about Sesshet.
Oh, I love Sesshet. Okay, she wears on top of her head, there's like a, some people think it's a cannabis leaf. It kind of looks like a cannabis leaf. Maybe it is. Maybe it's part of how she connects to the astral world. But it has seven petals in it, and then it appears to have a set of cow horns enclosing it. That's her crown. And that is a symbol for the constellation Pleiades, with the seven stars inside the Pleiades, which appear in the Taurus constellation. So she's actually very Taurian. And what I love about her is that, you know, astrologically, we're in a time right now where Uranus is in Taurus, and that's the whole change and shift it's the sign of the water bearer. And so there's your flood imagery again. So she's very powerful at this time. She holds a reed pen often and a scroll. And sometimes she holds some material where she's like driving a stake to set the foundation for the temple. And sometimes she holds a leaf palm frond and counting the years and the names and the numbers. So she has to do with building. On the physical plane, she has to do with calculating and speaking on the mental plane. And she's connected to the stars and to the cosmos on through that crown that she wears.
Yes. Yes. Well, this business of the cannabis leaf, I want to throw in the garbage immediately, whatever other people think, because cannabis shuts down dreaming. When I hear all these constant efforts to attribute extraordinary experience to hallucinogens, although cannabis is more relaxant than a hallucinogen, I sometimes think, Normandy, it is so sad that in our time so many people have lost the art of authentic dreaming and visioning, that they want to do the drugs or ascribe the drugs to people and traditions that didn't need them. I mean, great shamans have never needed hallucinogens. They're part of many cultures. But I won't enter into a rant about that. I know the power of Sechet. What is her relationship to Thoth Tahuti?
Tahuti, she's sometimes called his consort. But that makes her sound like she's, you know, a subject, you know, subjugated. She's actually an equal. She and Ma'at, who is the goddess of truth, and also the goddess of the foundation, she's the plinth on which every single god stands, you know, and Sechet records everything that happens. And so they are very intricately connected to Thoth, who is healer, scribe, astronomer, chemist, creator, all types of things. So they're his right and left hands, I think.
We're going to start looking at your book a little bit more closely, and we're going to do some divination. In fact, if Normandy, if you're prepared to do some divination with me, I did pull three cards from your deck. So we'll do it right after the break. Let me just say, before we go there, Normandy's new book is Hieroglyphic Words of Power. There is a deck which you have to order separately. There's instructions for doing that, and we'll get into that later on. You can do the divination simply with the book by opening it at random and doing bibliomancy, and you could do that repeatedly through however many images you want to draw. And the images are quite beautiful. It's a beautifully illustrated book. So we're talking about dreaming with Egypt, with the poetic soul of Normandy Ellis, who has been bringing us really very creative and poetic version of these things for many years. We're so glad to have you on the show. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after the break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Gingivitis, gum disease, words you don't want in your mouth. But according to the American Dental Association, 3 out of every 4 adults will develop gum disease. Now there's an all-natural way to fight back. Introducing the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies. Developed by a dentist and clinically tested by a leading university, the Natural Dentist Herbal Gum Therapies daily oral rinse and toothpaste was proven to kill the germs that cause gum disease better than the leading brands. Regular use was proven to reduce gingivitis and bleeding gums. The Natural Dentist contains herbs like echinacea and aloe vera and has no alcohol or sugar or harsh chemicals. The Natural Dentist is guaranteed to work or your money back. You can find the Natural Dentist at most drug and health stores, including Trader Joe's, Save-On, Walgreens, and Long's Drug Stores, as well as most health stores, including Whole Foods Markets and Wild Oats. Call 800-615-6895 or visit www.thenaturaldentist.com for more info.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do go over to my website, mossdreams.com. You'll see that we're in the midst of a fabulous new online video course called Shamanic Dreaming with Goddesses of Rebirth, and it's not too late to sign up. class two is on Thursday and play catch up with the recording for the first one. We are having an incredibly rich and deep and creative and fun time. And we're invoking some of those greater powers. We're going to go Egyptian next week, actually, in that course. And my conversation with Normandy is probably going to wing me for that task. Let me tell you a little bit more about her new book and then ask her to explain a couple of things in general about it. And then we're going to do, I hope, a little bit of divination. Don't you love a little bit of divination? If it's spontaneous with a system you don't know very much about. A little bit of divination with three cards I pulled from Normandy's deck just before we started the show. So Normandy has chosen 60 hieroglyphic images for her book and for her set of cards. So why 60, Normandy? Why did you choose that number?
I like 6 because it's a number of healing. If you're doing numerology, 6 is a number of healing. It's about taking care of oneself and taking care of others. And, I think of 6 as a companionable or community number. And so in that regard, I'm having a communion with the deities when I picked those 60. Mm-hmm. Some of them are actual deity hieroglyphs. Some of them are hieroglyphs that refer to the spiritual bodies. Some of them are hieroglyphs that have magic attached to them, but I always picked ones that I thought caught my eye inside the temples when I was walking. I would be walking along and go, there's that one, Per Ur, the guy leaving the house. That's a good message. Sometimes we got to get out of the house.
I love your images and your take on Arit, the doorway image, and the
pictures of
challenging gateways and serpents raised to the gate. It seems sometimes you never get anywhere in the Egyptian mind without having to face serpents of some kind or another. But I liked your choice of that card. I like doors and gates in general, and so does Egypt. 60 and 6, I don't do numerology except tarot. I used to teach year-long courses in tarot and design my own deck. Not the publication. 6 for me, because I also make the Kabbalistic Tree of Life Association, is the number of Tiferet. In other words, it's the number of the heart center, which goes with what you're saying. It takes us to the heart of the matter. And that's where you get, when you get to the sixes in the procession of the numbers in tarot, you're coming to the heart, which is a good place to be. All right. I pulled 3 cards from your deck this morning. May I share with you what I did, and you can give me your associations? My simple intention was to look at where we are. I mean, to look in a general, where I am and where all of us are, actually. And I pulled one card to represent the present situation, and the card is Heru, who I believe is Horus, right? By the way, I've had a beautiful replica of a Horus statue from the Louvre in my life for 50 years. 50 years now, Normandy. It's standing on my personal altar right now. So I have some very positive associations with Heru, and I also think of the birth of the golden child, after all the drama of the Holy Family, the Passion of Isis and Osiris. Anyway, we'll get your take on that. And then I draw a card, which I put on the left of the central card, representing where it's coming from. Where is this coming from? And I got the card that is called Ta, T-A, and I'm not so familiar with this. It shows something like a wheel or even a drum, from my point of view, with lines below it and a disc and a mound above. And then on the right-hand side, I drew Thet, which I recognize as the knot of Isis. And this has, in terms of our situation and the need for the goddess rising, the need for the resurgence of the divine feminine, this has very, very strong and positive associations. For me, as I mentioned, I'm leading, and I think you know about this, I'm leading a course called Shamanic Dreaming with the Goddesses of Rebirth right now, which I find very relevant to our time. Anyway, so those are my 3 cards. Where we are is Heru, where we're coming from is Ta, and where we're going is Thet. What do you have to say about that?
Wonderful. Well, Heru, he is one of my favorite cards, because from Heru we have the concept of the hour. It is his picture that appears on the hieroglyphs on the zodiacal ceiling in Dendera that mark the different hours and the different seasons. And so Heru and hour actually have a link. The other thing is that the link is hero, you know. And so I look at Horus and I'll say, oh, he's a man of our time, right? He's the one who steps forward and has to change things and make a difference. He has many things that he has to overcome in order to become the hero of the story. But we're all living a hero's journey, and there are many trials that we have to go through to get past that. The other thing that's important to remember about Heru is that he is called the Twice Born. He was one, the older Heru, we'll call him Uncle Heru, was the brother of Isis, Osiris, that Nephthys. And he stayed in heaven. He was born of spirit. And then the second Heru, which is Horus, the child of Isis and Osiris, is on the earth. And so he's a definite image of as above, so below. He really walks in both worlds. And I think that it's interesting it comes up in the present, because that's what we need to be doing. We need to be thinking about
it. Give me a shiver of recognition, because as you describe him, he is one who dies and comes back. I mean, his father, Osiris, comes up, but is always depicted as a mummy, right? He doesn't exactly come back in this world. But Horus perhaps comes back in this world, embodied.
That's a good perception. Osiris has to stay in the underworld because he becomes the seed of possibility for resurrection.
Yes.
He's not necessarily the resurrected one.
I read somewhere that the child Horus was prepared for what he had to do, the battle with Seth and all of that, in his dreams. He received a dream education. And I also think, staying with the dream theme, that one of the Egyptian figures who left something like a dream journal, we're back in up into Ptolemaic times now probably, was simply called Hor, H-O-R, which would relate him to Horus. And I remember studying the dream books or the dream journals of Hor when I tried to find evidence of Egyptian dreaming. We're into the Greek period, but it's still an Egyptian dreaming. Anyway, so what you gave me, the other associations you are pulling from me, is very exciting. So we're coming from Ta, T-A. What's that about?
From Ta? We're coming from the earth. I think this is the earth change. When we're talking about the above and the below, it's the earth change.
Ta is fundamentally an image of the earth? Tell us about it.
T-A, T-A, you're talking about T-A, right, Ta.
Yes.
Okay, it's a circle with a square inside it. You see that every time you're on a map, it says you are here, and there's a circle with a square.
It looks like a St. Andrew's cross. I mean, I'm Scottish by descent. It looks like a St. Andrew's cross.
Yes, it kind of looks like a Coptic cross. Okay, but it is a hieroglyph called Ta. Okay. And the other thing that's next to it, I don't know if it shows up in the book, is there's a little T sound that's a loaf of bread.
Is that the thing above it that looks like a mound but could be that kind of flatbread? Yeah. Okay. I think I see the loaf. I didn't know whether to call it a mound or something else.
Well, it could be a mound, but it could be a mound of earth. It's like when you go to Egypt and they make you your bread, they make it in the sand. They put sand all around it and they heat it up, and that's how your bread is made. So it really is of the earth.
Now, what are the two lines underneath the disc?
Those are the two roads.
The road.
The way above and the way below.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very interesting.
And Set is, as you said, the knot of Isis. It's the girdle that goes around her hips, and it's the image of fertility.
So this is what we're moving towards. That would be a promising outcome, right?
Right, the promising outcome. But remember, there's like a flow. You know, it's almost like a menstrual flow that's connected to it. So there's a flowing away, just as we talked about with the flood, before there's a rebirth.
Right. Well, I hope it means that the goddess is truly rising. I hope it means that we're going to see a real definite resurgence of the divine feminine. We're talking to Normandy Ellis. We have to pause for a break. We're just talking about the very interesting three-card spread I got using images, hieroglyphic images related to a book, Hieroglyphic Words of Power. We'll be back to talk more after the break. This is Way of the Dreamer with Robert Knott.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer of webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcasting coders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call EarthChannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Do hop over to my website, mossdreams.com, see what's going on. You know, I'm not on my usual international travel schedule, which normally occupies half my days in a year, which means I'm doing more online, including my online courses for Shift Network. There's a current one called Shamanic Dreaming with Goddesses of Rebirth, maybe very germane to the final image and the quick reading I did with Normandy's cards this morning, moving towards the knot of Isis, which to me might mean the goddess resurgence. I've got another course coming up soon, exploring 12 different traditions of dreaming from different, you know, world cultures and approaches, etc. So there's that, and there's a radio show, and so on, and we've got Normandy today, which is delightful. Normandy, I'm going to quote you again from your book, Dream Devices, and here's the introductory line, which I love. I endorse this 100% and more. Quote, this is Normandy in Dream Devices. Any event repeated again and again in a lifetime begins to take on a deeper meaning, perhaps even a mythic proportion. See, this is what I call reincidence. It's my personal riff on the word coincidence. There are situations that come up again and again. They recall like recurring dreams. Anyway, sometimes you get a message from it and it gives you shivers. And the example you give relevant to that in Dreams of Isis is you talk about finding out that someone is spying on your journal. And you say that the two pivotal events of the marriage that you entered into at that time centered around your journals and your husband reading your journal without permission. You write, the first time it happened, I married him as a way to rectify my mistakes, as a means of reassuring him that my art and my life were less important to me than he was. The second time, you write, I divorced him as a means of declaring my life and art as my own, but he had no right to reinterpret, misread, and misjudge. Well, bravo! I mean, who can come up with a partner who won't give us any private space? And your journal is your secret book. It needs to be sacred space. So, I mean, that was a huge learning experience, wasn't it?
Oh, it sure was. It sure was. You know, it's one of those things that now that I live alone again, I have two bookshelves that are completely filled with my journals. And nobody can do anything about where they are or what they say. I wake up in the middle of the night from a dream, and I suddenly have a date like, okay, what is it about August 24th, 1978? And I can go to my journal and look it up.
Yes.
It's just right there on the shelf. It's amazing.
Yes.
I love having my journal out again.
I've got my journal. I used to print everything out, and I have all sorts of handwritten and hand-drawn journals, because some of my journals are also art journals or sketches that I make for my dreams. You've seen a few of those. But in recent years, because I can't read my handwriting any longer, I tend to type everything onto the computer, and then I have an immediate running index. I mean, I give a title and a date, I've got a running index, and thanks to the Word search engine, I've got a search engine, so I can find anything from the last 35, 40 years that I've transcribed and put into the computer. It just comes up like that. So it becomes a phenomenal database, and as you know and I know, you don't really understand how important a journal is until you've kept one for 5 years or more. You think you know, but you don't, because it's going to be a treasure box in so many ways. Just something about dreaming. I mean, I notice when I look at the Egyptian text that they sometimes make it clear that dreaming is not necessarily about the night or even primarily about the night. You can dream by day or night. I've seen invocations of a dream source in which the invoker is saying, bring me a good dream by day or by night. And we think about the dream of the pharaoh who lies between the paws of the sphinx at noon on a hot day and receives a dream vision of a god. This just leads me to something that may not directly connect to what I just said, but I want to throw it in anyway. I mean, in our culture, lots of people make the mistake of thinking that dreaming is fundamentally about what happens during sleep. Yes, we get good ideas during sleep. We get shocking things we may not want to see but need to see. We have adventures. We see the future and the past and the parallel lives and all of that. But we can dream in other ways also. And one of my dominant modes of dreaming all my life, as far back as I can remember, back to my lonely and broken and illness-ridden childhood, one of my basic modes of dreaming has been to spend a lot of time drifting in the space between sleep and awake, in that hypnagogic zone. You're not asleep, you're not awake, you're somewhere in between. And I would say that the most important sacred encounters and spiritual dialogues of my life have taken place in that space. I mean, just when I was launching the new course, in that space, I suddenly received a visitation from a beautiful young woman with a milky skin and torrents of red hair, who told me she came from the precinct of Bridget. She gave me her name. She gave me symbols and keys and clues to take me deeper into the realm of Bridget, which is where we started the new course. I contacted three Irish women friends who live in Ireland and live very close to the landscape and the traditions of Bridget. I was able to confirm and build upon the clues that I was given. So that's a recent example. I've had Egyptian cases like this too. Is this part of your practice, to spend time in that liminal space, that fertile space between sleep and awake?
I would say yes. I mean, I do meditation quite often. I will lie down for a nap and set my alarm so that it will wake me up in the middle of the sleep so that I can remember a dream. So I do that often. But the other thing I do, as you were talking, I was thinking about, oh, yeah, the things that happen to me during the day, I say, okay, if this were my dream, what would that mean?
Sure.
You know, so you are having a waking dream when you're just
Absolutely.
Walking around your kitchen. You know, it's like your kitchen walls are talking to each other in the same way
right.
that the hieroglyphs talk
right.
to each other inside the temple.
When I run into very serious and solid meditators, most of my friends do meditation in some form or other, I will say to them, well, I have two dominant modes of meditation. I do them in every 24-hour period, not necessarily at a scheduled time. The first is horizontal meditation, lying in that in-between state, practicing continuity of consciousness, letting images arise and fall, following them when I like them, and then you're in lucid dreaming. And the other is walking meditation, which is my response to what you just said. Going through the world around me, looking at the signs and symbols in the everyday world and the conjunctions and convergences in everyday world as a set of clues to the deeper reality, treating waking reality as a dream, which it is, and working with and playing with it accordingly. And most of my meditation friends, however serious to begin with, really start enjoying this and saying, oh, yeah, we could do that too. We don't have to sit on a funny cushion to meditate. There are other ways of meditating, and there truly are. All right, we're having fun here. We're almost out of time. We have to pause for our final break. Then we'll be back with Normandy Ellis, basically just to say, you know, may your doors and gates and paths be open, and thank you very much. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Noss.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978. Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
I've been listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss. Our fascinating guest is Normandy Ellis. Normandy, do you have a last, maybe Egyptian thought for us?
I want to read from Awakening Osiris. This is the page that I turned to, and I think it kind of takes us out with a little bit of a Egyptian prayer. Thou spirit within, you are myself, my power, my ka, the fire of the goddess. May I create beauty, houses of wonder. May the labor of my hands be mirrors unto the goddess.
Okay, beautiful. And there we are with Seth, the Knot of Isis again, perhaps. You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Our guest was Normandy Ellis. Her book, her new book, is Hieroglyphic Words of Power. Check it out. From now until next time, may your doors and gates and paths be open, and may the doors and gates and paths of any who do you or those you love any harm be closed. May it be so.